We're holding on Pei Ches Amud Beis, 11 lines from the bottom. A line begins Yoimru. We learned in the Mishnah about cases, what you're allowed to do as far as pouring out your waste water or used water or whatever on Shabbos. We mentioned sometimes you pour them into the chotzer, and they get, the idea is for them to get absorbed into the ground over there, help lay down the dust. They might flow out from there into Rosh Hashanah. So therefore we said that if your chotzer is 4 by 4 amos, which we said you had a machlokas rabbi and rabzera, whether that means actually at least a square 4 by 4 amos, or whether it's enough that it has a floor, that whether it's enough that it has an area of 16 square amos, no matter the shape, then you're allowed to pour the water into there on Shabbos. But if not, if it's any smaller than that, then we said you have to dig out an ukka, a cavity in the ground, which where the water is going to go into there. The cavity has to hold at least 2 saw of water, because a typical person uses 2 saw of water for their needs every day, and for washing and whatever. And therefore, so that's the amount the chachamim were kaveya. Once you do that, then you're allowed to pour into the chotzer, into that ukka, and then if it flows out from there to Rosh Hashanah Rabim, it doesn't matter because you're not doing it directly anyway. And since you have the ukka over there, you'll have a hekter that you're not allowed to pour directly from Rosh Hashanah Yachim to Rosh Hashanah Rabim on Shabbos. Then the second case was where you have dirty water that you want to be able to drain out. You don't want it to stay in your chatzah. You want it to be able to drain out to Rosh Hashanah Rabim. So you have a biv, which is a channel or a pipe leading out to Rosh Hashanah Rabim. So we had in the Mishnah of Elazar ben Yaakov saying that as long as it's covered the first 4 amos in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, then you're allowed to pour water into it, even though it goes out to Rosh Hashanah Rabim, because there is the possibility it'll get absorbed into the ground in those 4 amos. And the Chachamim said that no, you can never pour directly into the pipe. All you can do is you can pour onto the roof, and then it'll run from there into the pipe, into the channel, whatever, and go out to Rosh Hashanah Rabim. So we mentioned that we started mentioning in the Gemara that there's a distinction in this between the summertime and the wintertime. During the wintertime, you're allowed to pour shofech v'shoina ve'ena nimna. You're allowed to pour, and you don't have to hold back. Even if the channel is not covered in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, whatever. So why should we distinguish between the winter season, the rainy season, and the summer? So Rava had given the reason. Because during the winter time, you don't care either you don't mind the water getting absorbed into your chatzar, because anyway, your chatzar is all muddy. So you don't need an ukka or anything. Then we said we said as far as pouring into a biv, there's two possible reasons why you shouldn't pour in. There's two possible reasons why not to pour into a biv. One of them is because he wants them to go out, because he doesn't want them to stay in his chotzer. But again, during the winter time, since it's rainy and muddy anyway, he doesn't really care. The other reason would be because of achshad, that people are going to suspect him of pouring into the biv on Shabbos, going out directly to Rosh Hashanah Rabim. During the winter time, that's not a problem anyway, because anyway, all of the gutters and channels and everything are all pouring water anyway from the rain. So nobody's going to think that he did anything wrong. So now more on that topic with a different way of understanding the difference between summer and winter. Amar of Nachman, b'moisag shamim, during the winter time, uka machzik sasayim, if the person made an uka, the hollow over there in his chotzer, that holds at least 2 saw of water, noisin lois sasayim, then you're allowed to pour 2 saw of water into it. And actually, Tosfos says it might even be more than 2 saw. Once you're allowed 2 saw, then you're allowed as much as you want. Machzik saw, noisin lois saw. Suppose that the ukka only holds 1 saw, then you're only allowed to pour 1 saw of water in there, and the other saw you're going to have to keep around in the house until after Shabbos. That's during the winter. V'mosachama, during the summer, the rule will be, says Rav Nachman, machzik sasayim noisin lois sasayim. If it holds sasayim, then you can put sasayim into it. Not saw ain't noisin lois kol ikar. But if it holds only 1 saw, then during the summertime when it's not raining, you wouldn't be allowed to pour anything into it, not even the saw. So the question is, why? Why don't we say that you should always be able at least to pour the capacity of the ukkah into there, because then it's not going to go out into Rishus Rabim. So during this winter, so you're telling me during the winter time you can pour saw in there. Why during the summer can't you pour saw in there, according to Rav Nachman? The answer is gzera duma oti listen duma osi litin lay sasayim. We make that as gzera because he may come to put two saw in. And after all, two saw is the normal amount that you use every day. So if you're allowed to pour in a saw, you're liable to forget and allow and pour two saw, and that's no good because the ukkah is not the size that you need in order to prevent it from automatically going out into Rishus Rabim. Therefore we're not going to allow it at all. So the question is, then shouldn't we make the same gzera in the winter time as well? What happens if he puts in two saw over there? And again, the answer is like the svara that Rava said that we learned before. What would be the potential problem if he were to do that? Suppose he were to be over on that and put two saw into the one saw ukkah during the winter. Is the problem that now his chotzer is going to get muddy, and therefore he doesn't want the water to be in his chotzer. He wants it to go out into Rishus Rabim. He's not going to think that way. It's anyway muddy. It's anyway as it is muddy. So he doesn't really care whether it stays in the chotzer. So therefore, he doesn't mind it staying in the chotzer. So therefore, if it goes out into Rishus Rabim, then it's not going to be his original machshava anyway. And again, even if he were to pour directly and it flowed out into Rishus Rabim, but that wasn't his machshava, then fine. Malachas machsheves also Torah. It wasn't malachas machsheves. Therefore, he won't be over on an Issur D'oraisa anyway. And imishum gzeira shemayemrit sinerach shal planim kaleach mayim is the reason, because people were going to be concerned that people are going to think that his drainage pipe, morning iron, that his drainage pipe is pouring out water. If you're going to say that's the problem, which again, therefore, either they're going to be choshed him that he's doing wrong on Shabbos, or they're going to think maybe such a thing is mutter. Again, given that it's wintertime, stam tzinodes makalchanein. All pipes and channels are anyway flowing with water. So there'd be no problem with that. That is why during the winter, if the ukkah only holds one saw, says Reb Nachman, then you'd be allowed to put one saw into it, but not more than. We're not going to ask you altogether. The fact is, you shouldn't put more than one saw, because if you do, it is going to flow directly out into Rishus Rabim. But even if you did, it wouldn't be an Issur D'oraisa anyway. Therefore, it's not going to be an Issur D'oraisa. But rather, if he does end up pouring more, then we don't have to be concerned that he Davka wants it to go to Rishus Rabim, because he doesn't care if his chotzer is muddy anyway. It's anyhow muddy. He doesn't, as far as Chashad, or that people are going to think he's doing wrong, nobody's going to realize anything, because they're going to think it's just rain water pouring out over there. So therefore, we're not going to make any such gzera. But during the summertime, when you don't have those considerations, the chotzer is dry and you want it to stay fairly dry. Okay, you want some water in there in order to lay down the dust. But again, we're talking about a chotzer less than 4x4 amos, so it's anyway not usable for any kind of tashmish chashuv. So you don't really care about you don't really want the water to stay in there. You want it to drain out to Rishus Rabim, and it's not during the winter. There's no rain falling, so everybody sees water coming out of that, they're going to think that he did it deliberately, that he poured from his chotzer right out into Rishus Rabim. So we're not going to allow him to even put one saw, because then he might come to put two, and then you have those problems. This is how Rav Nachman understands the difference between summer and winter. Therefore, when we quoted the Braise further up, which we learned yesterday, where it says Shefich v'Shoinev Ein Nimna, he can pour and pour, and he doesn't have to hold back when during the winter time. Rav Nachman would understand all that means is that you're allowed to pour and pour until you reach the one saw. It doesn't mean you can pour indefinitely. If you only have an ukkah of one saw, then you're only allowed to pour up to one saw. But you can go pour up to that one saw. You don't have to keep all the dirty water by you until after Shabbos. So the Gemara finishes off, Amar Abaya, Hilkach, given that we're saying that during the wintertime, there's no concern about these things, about him wanting the water out of his chotzer because it's anyway muddy, or people thinking that he's transferring it from Rosh Hashanah Abim, from Rosh Hashanah Yochid directly to Rosh Hashanah Abim, because anyway, all the gutters are pouring water. Hilkach, therefore, if you say that when he has an ukkah of two sah, then he's allowed to pour into two sah, it doesn't mean only two sah, afilu kurva afilu kurayim. He would be allowed to pour even a kur of water, even two kur of water, because once we allow him the two sah, then we're allowing him as much as he wants. Because after all, he made an ukkah the way he was supposed to, tusa, and therefore the fan, and that shows therefore that he doesn't want that show. So again, during the winter time, he doesn't care about whether his chotzer is muddy. He doesn't. We're not concerned that there's a chashad that people are going to think that he's pouring water into Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, you'd be allowed to put, as long as you have an ukkah of tusa, then you'd be allowed to put as much as you want. We said in the mission of Achen Shte Dutois Zu Keneged Zu. We said, suppose you have two Dutois, which we said are second floors, one opposite the other. So unfortunately, there doesn't seem to be a diagram for it in the back of the Gemara, but let's illustrate it. Let's think of it as follows. You have on each side, you have a ground floor, or maybe just it's not even a ground floor. Maybe it's like an embankment or something. Above that, you have a bunch of houses that are on top of that embankment. They're set back a little bit so that you have sort of like a miniature porch or gallery in front of them. Between them, down on the ground, you have a chotzer, which let's say is 4x4 amos, because therefore you need an ukkah. So we said, therefore, now suppose the people on one side of this chotzer made an ukkah next to their place, next to their diyuta. So then what they're allowed to do is they will be allowed to pour water onto the diyuta, onto that embankment over there in front of their doors, and it will flow down to the ukkah. And eventually from there, once the ukkah gets filled, then it'll start flowing into Rosh Hashanah Abim. They're allowed to do that. The people on the other side who don't have the ukkah near them are not allowed to. Now, so what's the scenario we have to figure out? Are we talking about that the two sides made an eruv and are allowed to carry in this joint chotzer of theirs or not? So Omar Rava Afilu Irvu. So Rava says, even if the two sides made an Eruv Chatzeres, the people who don't have the ukkah on their side would not be allowed to pour water. In their case, what would be happening is the water would be going from the diyuta in front of their house doors down into the chotzer. It would be flowing across the chotzer into the ukkah, unlike on the other side where it's flowing directly down into the ukkah. And the Mishnah is saying that even if they made an Eruv where they're allowed to otherwise carry in the chotzer, this would be usur. But the Gemara says, Omalei Abaya. Abaya says to him, my timer. Why? What's the problem? Why should the people who don't have the ukkah on their side, why should they not be allowed to pour water down across the chotzer? Ilema mishum defisha demaya. Are you going to say it's because there's going to be a lot of water? So you're going to have four sah, because each household uses two sah. So two households, four sah. The problem is, Vahatanya, we learn in a braisa, the achasli ukkah, the same din would apply if you have an ukkah, which is a cavity, a hole that you dug in the ground. The achasli gistera, the same thing would apply if you have on the ground a gistera, which is a broken earthenware keli, where they put it down on the ground over there for the same purpose, that to hold the water that they pour into the chotzer, it'll collect into that gistera. Or brecha, if they have a wide ditch in the ground. Rashi describes it as brecha, literally means a pool. So it means like the kind of pool that they make, let's say, for fish. So if they have that, va'areva, or if they have a small boat over there, so they're allowed to pour the water into the chotzer, as we said, because it'll collect in this thing. Af al pishin is smaller mayim be'erev Shabbos, and the din is even if the thing is full of water erev Shabbos already, shofchan l'seichan mayim b'Shabbos, you're still allowed to pour water in Shabbos because it may get absorbed in the ground over there and not go out to Rosh Hashanah Abim at all. And even if it does go out to Rosh Hashanah Abim, that wasn't your machshava, therefore it's fine. So we see therefore that So we see that once you have an ukkah of tusa, then you're allowed as much as then you're allowed to keep on pouring into it. So the same thing over here, they have an ukkah. Okay, on one side, it happens to be further away, and on the other side, closer. On the people on the other diyuta, it's further away, and the people on the other side, it's closer to them. So what? As long as it holds tusa, then you're allowed to pour as much water as you need. Okay, you have a shita, I think, that Amam holds, that's still fine. Each household is still going to be limited to only two sa, but fine, you have two households over here, one on each side, so therefore they're allowed four sa. What's the problem? Now, the Gemara says, you're right. Ela'i itmar hochi itmar. If this was said, then this is how it was said. Rava's statement. Omar Rava, loishanu ela shaloi ervu. that when do we say that the people from the other side cannot pour down in on their diuta that'll flow down to the chotzer and out to the and over to the uka is only elashalay eruv, only if they did not make an eruv chatzeris, so therefore they're not allowed to carry in the chotzer anyway. Aval eruv mutarin, but if they did make an eruv, then they would be mutar. Now, so what you have is actually the people on the side where they made the uka. They, again, we're saying there's no eid of chatzeres, so they're not allowed to carry in the chatzer. However, they will still be able to pour from. They will, since they're not pouring directly into the chatzer, they're pouring onto the diuta, onto the embankment or stoop or whatever in front of their houses, and from there it's going down into the uka. So there's not a problem with that. But with the other side where they have to pour it on the diuta and then it flows across the chatzer and only then into the uka, then not. So the question is, why not? Why not? What would be the problem? I mean, okay, the same thing, you know, fine, they're not allowed to carry in the chotzer, but the same way as on the one side, they're pouring it onto the diuta and it flows down into the chotzer, and that's fine. It should be the same thing on the other side. So what's the problem? The answer is, we make a gzera because the people on the other side, far away from the uka, may actually take kalim full of water out of their house to pour them out, and that they wouldn't be allowed to do. They may walk over, they may walk out of their house, across the diuta, down into the chotzer, still holding the water, and then pour it into the uka, because after all, they don't want the chotzer to get ruined and to get muddy and everything. So therefore, so we're not going to allow it. The reason is because then we're concerned that they're going to carry across the chotzer, which they're not allowed to do since they didn't make an eruv. Hadron alach ketzed mishtatvin. This next perek is going to deal with issues involving other areas. Till now we've been talking about houses and chatzeres and mavoyas, but we know that there are other kinds of enclosed areas as well, such as roofs, which we're going to talk about. So what are the dinim as far as carrying on those on Shabbos? And then we're also going to have later on, further along in the parak, we're going to be talking about various, a couple of miscellaneous dinim involving chatzeres or other areas that are enclosed or partially enclosed or whatever. What are the dinim of them as far as Shabbos? So the Mishnah starts off, Kol gagay se'ir rishus achas. All roofs in a city are considered one rishus. Meaning, so obviously different people live in the different houses, but the point is the roofs are not used as often. People don't regularly go up on the roofs. So the houses, of course, are considered to be separate rishuyas, and they need to make an eruv. But the roofs are not considered separate rishuyas because people don't use them as often. So they're considered one rishus in the sense that if you have before Shabbos, there's a keli on one person's roof, then you'd be allowed to bring it over on Shabbos to the next person's roof. We'll see in the Gemara some conditions about that. Provided that you don't have one of the roofs is 10 or more tefachim higher or lower than the other one, then if there's that difference in height, then you would be also to carry from one roof to another for reasons that we're going to learn about in the Gemara the next couple of days. Divid a mayor, that's what a mayor says. The Chum say no, each roof is considered a reshus for their own. So if Reuven and Shimon did not make an eruv between them, then you're not allowed to take something that was on Reuven's roof before Shabbos and bring it over to Shimon's roof on Shabbos. Reb Shimon is the most makel. He says it's not just roofs. Echad gagos, roofs, as well as ve'echad chatzeres ve'echad karpefes. Also the chatzeres themselves, also karpefes, areas that are enclosed for storing wood or whatever. If they're less than base sasayim, if they're less than 50 by 100 amas, as we learned in the second parak of Amos Sechta. So all of those things, all the roofs, all the chatzeres, and all the karpefes, reshus achasein lekelim reshus achas. They're all considered one rishus, meaning if you have a keli that started out Shabbos in one of them, you'd be able to transfer it to the other one. L'kelim sheshav sulaseichan. Now that only applies to kelim that started out on Shabbos in one of those places. V'loy l'kelim sheshav sulaseichan bayis, not for kelim that started out on Shabbos inside the house. So if let's say you have Reuven and Shimon, let's say live in a chotzer, and they made an eruv between them. So nevertheless, they're allowed to carry things from their house into their joint chotzer. But now, let's say, to bring that over to Levi and Yehuda's chotzer, where Levi and Yehuda, maybe they made an Eruv, maybe they didn't. The point is, they didn't make a joint Eruv together with Reuven and Shimon. Then no, you won't be able to take that from the first chotzer into the second, because it started out in the house on Shabbos. But Reb Shimon is saying, if it started out in Reuven and Shimon's chotzer on Shabbos, then they'd be allowed to bring it to Levi and Yehuda's chotzer, even though they didn't make an Eruv. And then they could also, they can join into that roofs and Tarpeifus and whatever. We learned about this in Masech the Shabbos, where we said you could even go across the whole city that way, maybe, if it's built appropriately.
Question.
Yeah.
How can you say that a roof is part of a chatzer? I mean, it's really extending it.
We're not
and
saying
number
a
two,
roof is part of a chatzer. One second. We're not saying, let me answer that first question first. Maybe it'll answer your second question as well. The answer is, we're not saying the roof is part of the chatzer. Reb Shimon takes the view that anything that's not tashmishon todir, anything which you're not, actually Reb Shimon says you need tashmishon miyuchad v'todir. You need that their use of them is exclusive. A chotzer's use is not exclusive because all the neighbors in the chotzer share it. It's not todir. It also has to be todir. So that cuts out a roof. A roof is miyuchad to you, fine, but it's not todir because you don't use it regularly. Reb Shimon says only if a place is miyuchad v'todir, only then do we have the dinim of Eruv Chatzeiros apply to it. So a roof is not todir. A chotzer is not miyuchad. A karpif is neither. A karpif may or may not be miyuchad. It's definitely not todir. Therefore, for purposes of Shabbos, all of them are considered as if they were one rishus, even though they actually belong to different people.
According to Reb Shimon, it has to be tadir and miyuchad.
Tadir and miyuchad, exactly. Yeah. Does that answer the
question? We saw this machlokes.
We've had this machlokes many times.
In Bris Mila also.
Yeah, indeed. That's indeed. If you look in Masoras Hashas, the first reference to Reb Shimon Omer, it's from Shabbos Kuf Lamed Omer Beis. Very good. We had a case over there where they forgot to bring a knife before the meal on Erev Shabbos, and they brought it by way of Gagas Chatzeres Fekarpefes, according to Reb Shimon. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Yosef Abaya Bar Oven Rav Chanina Bar Oven. One time, Reb Abaya and Bar Oven and Reb Chanina Bar Oven were sitting. The Yosef Abaya Gabayu, Abaya was sitting together with them. The Yosef Kamri, they were sitting and saying as follows. Let's try to understand the Svaris in our Mishnah. Bishleim el Rabbanan. I can understand the Svara of the Chachamim. They say, Savri, who say that you can't carry from one roof to another. Savri, they hold Kashem Shadiurin Chalukin Lamata, Kach Diurin Chalukin Lamaila. They're divided below because each person owns their own house or lives in their own house. So the same thing, the roof. So an extension of that, and each roof is considered a separate rishus. That's easy enough to understand. El Reb Meir Mai Kasavar. What does Reb Meir hold? That he says that the roofs you're allowed to. E Kasavar Kashem Shadiurin Chalukin Lamata, Kach Diurin Chalukin Lamaila. You're going to, if he holds that the fact that each person lives in their own house and that's a separate rishus of their own means therefore the roofs should be the same thing, then Amai Rishus Achasein. So why all of a sudden is he saying that the roofs are all considered one rishus? The E Kasavar Ein Chalukin. If he's going to say that they're not considered divided, if the mayor is going to take the view that anything more than 10 tfachim off the ground, and roofs, of course, are usually 10 tfachim off the ground because you have a house underneath them. So unless the house is like built halfway into the ground, then its roof is going to be more than 10 tfachim above. So maybe he holds the kol lamayla miyudu shosachasi. He holds that anything more than 10 tfachim above the ground is considered one rishus. The question with that is, in that case, I feel the gag gavoyas sort of a nomach asara nami, the nomach yud nami. Wouldn't the same thing apply even if the roofs are different heights and some of them are more or less than 10 amos different, 10 tfachim different than the next one? Why is Reb Meir saying that if Reuven's roof is that if Reuven's roof is 10 tfachim off the ground and Shimon's roof is 20 tfachim off the ground, then they can't take from one to the other? What's the difference if it's above 10 tfachim? Is above 10 tvachim? The answer is, so that's Abaya Bar Oven and Reb Chanina Bar Oven were wondering about that. Amalahu Abaya, so Abaya, who was sitting with them, answers them, Lo shmielahu hada amr of Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. Haven't you heard of what Reb Yitzchak Bar Avdimi said on this? He says, Omer hoya Reb Meir. Reb Meir used to say, whenever you find two rishuyas, meaning you have two areas next to one another, each one stands on its own, but v'hen reshus achas, but they're one reshus in the sense they're both the same kind of reshus. For example, they're both reshus yachid. Kigoin, for example, omud reshus yachid gavoya asar v'rochav dalid. For example, a pillar that's standing in reshus yachid, it's 10 tfachim tall, it's 4 tfachim wide, so it's large enough on its own to be a reshus yachid, and it's actually standing in reshus yachid. So you would think then, what's the problem? But no, Reb Meir says, also lekatef olav, you're not allowed to use it to adjust your burdens. If you're carrying something around in the chotzer, you're not allowed to then put it on this pillar. Gzeira mishum teil b'shus rabim. Because Reb Meir says, we make a gzeira because what if you have a similar kind of thing in reshus rabim? If you were to have a pillar or mound of dirt or whatever like that in the middle of reshus rabim, which was 10 tall and 4 by 4 and then 4 by 4, then it would be a reshus yachid. If you picked up something from reshus rabim and you put it on there, you'd be chayev chatas. Therefore, Reb Meir says, we're going to make the same gzeira even though this pillar is standing in reshus yachid. So therefore, by the same logic, when you have the roofs over here, yes, he's going to say that all the roofs are considered one rishus. But if you have one of them is more or less than 10, if one of them is a difference of 10 tfachim compared to the other one, then it's like this case, then it's going to be like this case where you have a pillar 10 tfachim tall, and we're going to make a gzeira because you may end up doing the same thing in rishus rabim as well. Now, there is the interesting question whether the halacha is like Reb Meir in that. Tosfos points out, the Gemara mentions in some places that a concept called halacha could Reb Meir b'gzeiroisav, that when it comes to, we don't always say the halacha is like Reb Meir, but we do say when Reb Meir says that something is also because of a gzeira that we might come to be over on an Isser Daraisa, then the halacha is like him. In that case, then that might mean the halacha is like him over here, that you can move things from roof to roof as long as they're within 10 tfachim, but not if they're 10 tfachim. And the same thing we're saying Reb Meir would say if there was a pillar in Rishus Rab, in Rishus Yochid, you wouldn't be allowed to put things on it. So then the question would become, the interesting question, so how do we take a Sefer Torah out of the Oren Kodesh on Shabbos in Shul and put it on the Bima, which is more than 10 tfachim off the ground, based on what we're saying here, according to the mayor, that should be Osir. So there's a couple of answers. First of all, Tosfos says the halacha is not necessarily like Reb Meir. In this particular case, we see later on, we're going to say the halacha is like Reb Shimon. We also say we had cases where something would be mutter only according to Reb Shimon, and we had Amiroyim arguing within that opinion whether something is also a mutter in a particular case. So that also implies the halacha is like Reb Shimon. So if the halacha is like Reb Shimon, then there's no problem with that. If we were to say, now there are Rishonim who say maybe the halacha is like Reb Meir, and they give a few different answers. One of them is that maybe this only applies in a Rishos Yachid that has no roof. But a Rishos Yachid that has a roof, like a shul, then there'd be no problem. Then that's so dissimilar from a Rishos Rabim that there's no reason that Reb Meir would even make such a gzeira about putting something over there. Okay. So the Gemara continues, Savo mina afilu machteshes v'afilu gigis. Now, the Chachamim thought to say, when they heard about this, that we're saying that Reb Meir is not going to allow you to put something on an omud b'rishus yachid as a gzeira, because you might come to do the same in Rishus Rabim. So they thought that this applies not only to an omud, afilu machteshes, even if it's a mortar, which is a keli, which you turn upside down, v'afilu little gigis, or even if it was a barrel, you wouldn't be allowed to put things on it on Shabbos, on the roof or in your chotzer. Amalahu Abaya, but Abaya tells them, no, Hochi Omamar, this is what my Rebbe, which is Rabbah, said, Loy Omer Reb Meir, Ela Omud Va'amasarichayim. Reb Meir is only talking about an Omud, a pillar, or Amasarichayim, the whole structure that you have with the millstones. The millstones you had, you know, for grinding flour. You have the bottom millstone is on a frame of some kind. We learned about this in the Masechta Shabbos, which is pretty much permanently fixed in place. And then you have the top stone on top of it. That whole contraption is called Amasarichayim. So those kinds of things is the kind of things your mayor is saying, that you're not allowed to put something from Rishus Yachid onto them on Shabbos, Hoyova Adam Kevela Hen Mokim, because a person makes a permanent place for them. So they're more similar to a tail, they're more similar to a mound of dirt in Rishus Rabim, and therefore if we allow him to put something on it, then we're concerned he may end up doing the same thing in Rishus Rabim. But if it's something that's only there temporarily, like a machteshes or a gigis, then even Reb Meir would have no problem with that. Okay, so the question is, v'arekosel sheben beis chatzeres. What about, though, consider the case of a wall between two chatzeres, de kavua, where that's fixed in place, the wall is permanently in place, v'omer Rabbi Yehuda, and when we talked before about the question, or we're going to talk about it tomorrow, and on Daf Tzadik, Bez Hashem, that v'omer Rabbi Yehuda, k'shetimtzi loymar, if you analyze the situation that it talks about over there, l'divir Rav Meir gagin rishusat la'atzmon chatzeres rishusat'atzmon karpefes rishusat'atzmon, it comes out that according to Rav Meir, each of these different kinds of areas is considered a rishus of its own. So fine, all the roofs are considered one rishus, like he says in the Mishnah. He would also say all the chatzeres are considered one rishus, but not the same rishus as the roofs. So he would say that you can carry from roof to roof, as long as they're not 10 tefachim distant, different height. You can carry from one chatzer to another, but you can't carry between the chatzeres and the roofs, he would say. So now, what do we mean when we say gagas rishus achasein? Means that you're allowed to carry things from one to the other. So when we talk about chatzeres rishus la'atzman, my lav deshoru the tatula derech koisel, wouldn't it mean that Rav Meir is allowing you to take things from one chatzer over the wall into the other chatzer? So we see Rav Meir is not concerned, even though something is permanently attached in place and it's taller than 10 tefachim. Tosfos says we're talking about over here, let's say the wall is less than 4 tefachim wide. So it sounds like Rav Meir has no problem with you doing that, even though it's kavua in place. And you're going over the wall, exactly, throwing something over the wall. The answer is Amar of Huna by Yehuda. Amar of Huna by Yehuda. Amar of Sheshes. Loi. No. Rav Meir might mean lahachnes olahoti derech psachim. Rav Meir might just mean if there happens to be a doorway between the two chatzeres, so they didn't end up making a joint eruv. Even though they could have, because they have the doorway over there. But given that all the chatzeres are considered one rishus, Rav Meir will still allow you to take something that was in one chatzer before Shabbos and bring it through the door into the other chatzer. So you're not going over the wall at all. If you went over the wall, then he might ask you to do that, to put it on the wall, because again, then you have this problem that you might confuse it with tail b'rishus rabin. So that remains the explanation of Rav Meir. He's allowing you to carry from one roof to another because he considers them all one rishus. He's not allowing you to carry between the roof and the chatzu because he considers those separate rishuyas. But he does say that if one roof is more than 10, is 10 or more tefachim difference in height than the other one, then you're not allowed to. And in fact, even if you had such a thing in the chatzu or any in a rishus yachid, then you wouldn't be allowed to. Again, according to some rishonim, even Rav Meir would say that only if the chatzer is open, only if it's an area open to the air like a chatzer, not if it has a roof over it. And again, according to many Rishonim, the halachas like Reb Shimon, anyway, according to many Rishonim, and this is how it's Paskin and Shulchan Aruch, the halachas like Reb Shimon anyway, so therefore it's not an issue. A tail means a mound of dirt, a pile of dirt. Yeah. And one more thing, we're saying this applies only if it's kavua. So, for example, you think about, let's say, by the coastal, when they have the coastal is open to the sky, when they have over there the bimas and they bring the Sefer Torah to them. According to the mayor, that we would say like this: according to the Shimon, there's definitely no problem; would be considered a chotzer or something, and you're allowed. And he doesn't hold the gzera of the mayor that you're not allowed to put something on an omud on it that's ten tefachim tall. So, according to him, there'd be no problem putting the Sefer Torah on it. Even according to Rav Meir, we would say, first of all, those amudim are not fixed in place. They get moved all around the coastal plaza. Well, they're higher than 10, that's the point. But if it was fixed in place, then Rav Meir might have a problem with it. But because they're not fixed in place, therefore even Rav Meir wouldn't have a problem with it. But again, the halacha is not necessarily like Rav Meir anyway. It's surrounded around and around, but doesn't have a roof on top. If it doesn't have a roof, that's when we're talking about. That's when, according to some Rishonim, that is where Rav Meir would make his gzera, only when it doesn't have a roof, because then it's more similar to Rishus Rabim. It doesn't matter. Yeah. But again, if the halacha is like Rav Meir, the halacha and Shulchan Aruch is paskin like Rav Shimon. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, apparently not. Okay. We said the Chacham say that each roof is considered a rishus of its own. Now, what does that mean? It's considered a rishus of its own. So, what are you allowed to carry over there? So, Itmar Rav Oma Ein Metaltman by Ela B'Dal Ramas. It means that according to the Rabbanon, you would only be allowed to carry maximum of 4 amos on your own roof. Because what happens, according to the Chachamim, each roof is a reshus of its own. The problem is the roofs are open one to another. As the Gemara is going to say in a second, we're talking about where you have row houses, like we have here in many places in Crown Heights, where one house is right next to the other and touching, and there's no mechitza between one roof and the next. So therefore, what you have in effect is you have an area where you're allowed to carry, but it's completely open to another area where you're not allowed to carry. It's called nifratz l'makom ha'asulai, and we've learned before, and we're going to learn again in our parak, that such a thing is asur. So because you're going to carry, because just the fact that it's completely open to the other area where you're not allowed to carry itself asurs the one area. Maybe it's because you might forget, whatever it is, whatever the reason is. The point is that your Rav would say, therefore, that it's considered completely like carmelis. And therefore, you can only carry in there maximum of 4 amas. If you have mechitzas, we'll get to that. We'll get to that soon. Right now, well, a mechitza less than 10 tefachim is not considered a mechitza, but yeah. Okay. Anyway, Shmuel lama muta l'talta b'kulay. Shmuel would say that you're allowed to carry on the whole roof. Because Shmuel would say that what happens is, you have mechitzas between the houses down below. So therefore, Shmuel says, good asik, we consider as though the not only the walls around the sides, but also the wall between them was lifted up. And now you have a virtual wall between them, and there you go, you're good. It's not nifritz, l'makom asur. Tosfos, by the way, points out, I mean, both what Rav and Shmuel are saying seems to only be according to the Chachamim. Does that mean that they hold like the Chachamim? They say later in the Perek that the halacha is like Reb Shimon. So what's going on? So one answer is that Tosfos says, maybe they're just explaining over here what the Chachamim would say. They themselves would say, the halacha, it doesn't matter. It's not considered nifratz l'makom ha'asula. But given that the Chachamim hold that it is, here's what they would say about it. And the other possibility, Tosfos says that after all, it's relevant according to Reb Shimon as well. What if, even Reb Shimon agrees that if you have kelim that were at the beginning of Shabbos inside the house, then you can bring them up to the roof, but you can't bring them over to the next roof unless they made a joint eruv. So then fine. So it's relevant to know also. So the question is, if you have a keli that started out in the house on Shabbos and you brought it over and you brought it onto the roof, would you be allowed to carry it on that roof more than 4 amos? According to Rav, no, because nifratz l'makom ha'asula. According to Shmuel, yes, because we would say good asik. According to Reb Shimon, yes. And according to Reb Shimon, yes, you would be allowed to carry along the whole block, along the roofs, yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, b'mechitzas hanikoreis, if you have recognizable mechitzas, meaning that the houses are not attached, so you actually have space between one house and the next, so if you stand on the roof and look down very carefully, you'll see the wall of the house below you. So then, dekula amalei pligi, then there's no argument. Definitely, we would say good asik. And therefore, you'd be allowed to carry on the whole roof, according to the Chachamim, and according to the Shimon. Also, if you have a keli that started out Shabbos in the house, you'd be able to carry it along the whole roof. According to the Meir, also according to all three opinions in the Mishnah, you'd be allowed to. According to the Chachamim, since you didn't make an Eruv, then it's also to carry between one roof and the next. But fine, on the one roof itself, you'd be allowed to. And according to the Meir, and according to the Shimon, also, yes. So according to them, it would all be good because we'd say good asik. Keep pligi b'mechitzes she'en nikoreis. The machloikas is where the mechitzes are not visible, namely, the roofs are attached together. It's a row house. So you have one roof next to the other, etc. And nothing between them, nothing to show at this point, my roof ends and my neighbor's roof begins, but you don't have anything actually, that you can see over there to show that there's a mechitza between them. No, it's not separate. That's the point. The point is you have it's row houses. Imagine, for example, you have some of those row houses, the brownstones or whatever on Carroll, on Malbone, anywhere. Imagine, for example, that you were to take two of those houses and knock out the wall between them. Would it look any different on the roof? No. So that's the point, in other words. So there's nothing when you walk over that thing between one house and the next to show that there is a wall beneath you, and therefore, so that's the machlokes. Rav Amar Ein Metaltlin Bo. So now Rav says you can't carry on that roof, on the first roof, more than four amos. Ela b'dalad amos. Lo yamrin good asik mechitzas. So we don't say good asik in that case, where you can't even see that if you were to look down that there's a wall there. Shmuel says you could. We still would apply good asik to that roof between that wall between the two houses. The fact is, down below you do have a wall between them. Therefore, we consider that wall as though it was pulled up and goes up to the roof. Tosfos has a long discussion over here about the question. Now, even when we say good asik, that wouldn't apply. If, first of all, if the roof is pitched, if it's not a flat roof, we wouldn't necessarily say good asik over there. Also, we wouldn't say it if, as you have many times nowadays, where the roof overhangs the walls. You often have houses where the roof overhangs the sides and then creates eaves. So then that we wouldn't say good asik either, because the side of the house, the corner of the roof over there that's above it, blocks it in effect from going up. No, but that's the point. In other words, the reason why we're saying good asik is we're saying we can take the walls of the house and pull them upward to form as if there were walls around the roof. But if the roof sticks out beyond the walls, then you can't do that. Ends by that roof? Well, it stops below. That doesn't help us, because we need it to be above. We need it to be above above the surface of the roof in order to be able to carry on the roof. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says Tanan. Let's look at our Mishnah and see. No. Good asik means that we consider as though the wall that was below is going further up. So, for example, let's say the houses on Sterling Street or the houses on Malbone or whatever, which don't have eaves, then fine, we can say good asik. But let's say, for example, you have some of the houses on Brooklyn Avenue, let's say, for example, that have pitched, first of all, they're pitched roofs, and Tosfos says it wouldn't work there anyway. And second of all, especially if the roof goes beyond the walls, then it also wouldn't work. Yeah. Okay. You also have sometimes you also have these, they call them mansard roofs, where they're flat on top. Then they have a slope below the top, and then they go, and then below them, it goes in a little bit and forms eaves. And then you have the walls there. Also, we wouldn't say good asik. So there you don't have, it's a flat roof, but nevertheless, because the part where it sticks out over there is between the wall and the top of the roof, then you can't say good asik, says Tosfos. Okay. So the Gemara says Tanan. Let's look at our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, we said the Chachamim say every roof is considered a reshus of its own. Now, reshus of its own suggests that you can carry in it. So, according to Shmuel, that's easy to understand. He says you can carry on the entire roof, again, even though the roof is attached to the roof of the next house. But how is Rav going to understand that? What do you mean that it's reshus la'atzma, which implies you can carry on the whole thing, and Rav is saying you can only carry up to four amos? Now, of course, the Gemara could have answered Rav Tanahu Poli, but we only do that if we have no other choice. We'd rather find that Rav agrees with the Mishnah. So the answer is Amri Bei Rav Mishmei de Rav. They answered in the yeshiva of Rav in the name of Rav. It means when we say reshus la'atzma, means shelo yitalto beis amos begagze or beis amos begagze. It means you're not allowed to carry two amos on one roof and then two amos over on the next roof, because okay, you're not carrying from reshus to reshus, but you are carrying four amos. You are carrying four amos, and therefore saying that it's a reshus la'atzma means in effect we treat it as though it was a reshus yachid and reshus rabim. We know if you were to take something two amos away, if you were to take something from reshus yachid, carry it two amos in reshus yachid, and then carry another two amos in reshus rabim, you'd be chayev. So the same thing, Rab is saying over here, reshus la'atzma doesn't mean l'kula that you can carry in the whole thing. It means l'chumra that we consider it to be a separate reshus from the next roof over, and therefore you can't carry something from one to the other, even though you're all within four amos. Because that's the case, the reshus la'atzmai. So reshus, that's what it means. Okay. So the question is, how could it be that's what it means? How can we say that's the machlokas? Rabbi Lazar said, "Ki havinon bebavel." When we were in Bavel, Rabbi Lazar was born in Bavel. He grew up there. He learned by Rav and by Shmuel. Then he left Bavel and moved to Eretz Yisrael and became Rabbi Yochanan's great Talmud. So much so that you have a Gemara in Yevamos that says that any time Rabbi Lazar says something and he doesn't specify who he said it from, we can assume it's from Rabbi Yochanan. Because even though he learned by Rav and Shmuel, he learned so much more by Rabbi Yochanan. Anyway, so Rabbi Lazar says, "Ki avinon bebavel." When we were in Bavel, Havra Amunan, we used to say as follows: "Be Rav Mishmei de Rav Amri Ein Metatlan be Ela Bedal Ramas." That they said in the name of Rav, like we said on Amud Aleph, that you can only carry on the roof up to four Amos, where the roof is attached to the next one. Fine, so far so good. That's the same thing. Vahani Dve Shmuel Tanu. But we used to say the people of Shmuel's yeshiva used to learn Ein Lahen Ela Gagon. All they have is their roof. So my Ein Lahen Gagon Lav De Shori Le Tatula Bekola. So what does it mean? They only have the roof. So it sounds like they were allowed to carry things on the entire roof. Now we have a braisa that said it's reshus la'atzmai. So what does that mean? According to them, the question is that they knew of a braisa that it says ein l'chol echad ela gagon. That's what it is. Shmuel's yeshiva had a braisa that said ein lahen ela gagon. Now, on the face of it, that means you're allowed to carry on the whole roof. So that's again a kasha on Rav. My ein lahen gagon lav de shor le tatula bekolei. Doesn't that mean that you're allowed to carry on the whole thing? So again, we're still back to how is Rav saying that you're allowed to carry only four amos? If we have a braisa that seems to be implying that you can carry on the whole thing. So the Gemara says, what's the problem? After all, is the braisa any stronger than the Mishnah? We just explained that the Bei Rav, the yeshiva of Rav, explained that when we say Rishus La'atzman means that you're not allowed to carry from one roof to another, even if you're within four amos. The same thing, when we say Ein Lahen Ela Gagon, it means there are two chumers. Number one, you're not allowed to carry outside of four amos on the roof itself, and number two, you're not allowed to carry from the one roof to the other, even if it's a distance of less than four amos, because you're going across from one roof to another. So this new braisa that we had from the yeshiva of Shmuel doesn't contradict Rav either. The reason why you're not allowed to, according to Rav, as we said on Amar Aleph, because it's nifratz l'mokama asula. Again, remember that we're talking about its roofs one next to the other, and you're not allowed to carry on your neighbor's roof. Therefore, Rav would say that now, therefore, that makes your own roof itself becomes almost like a kaimelus. But if it was if we said if they're separated houses, if you have a separation between one and the next, which would mean, I mean, we talked about, it could be at separate houses, you know, actual freestanding houses. It could also be like you were talking about before. You have, for example, on some flat roofs, you have a low wall between one and the next. Okay, so whatever. So let's say the houses on Sterling Street have that, for example. If that wall is 10 tefachim tall, then you're good also, of course. But then you're allowed to carry in your whole roof. Again, you still wouldn't be allowed to carry over to the next roof according to the Chachamim. According to Reb Shimon, you would. But again, it's also, according to Reb Shimon, you still wouldn't be able to. If you have something in your house that was in your house at the beginning of Shabbos and you brought it up to the roof on Shabbos, you wouldn't be able to bring it over to the next person's roof unless you made a joint eruv. So that's what we're saying, not even if it's separated, even if they're connected. Shmuel is saying, even if they're connected, so you look on top of there, you don't see any distinction between one roof and the next. You don't see any mechitza there. Nevertheless, Shmuel still allows it because we still say good asik. We still take the wall from inside the house and consider as though it was pulled up to separate the two roofs. Therefore, you're allowed to carry on the entire one roof, even though it's not recognized by it. Okay.
So the Gemara, that's not the halacha, right?
Well, the halacha anyway, we said, is like Reb Shimon. So according to Reb Shimon, you're anyway allowed to carry from one roof to another, whether you made an Eruv or not. However, again, that only applies to kelim that were on the roof or in the chotzer or whatever at the beginning of Shabbos. If you have ones that were in the house at the beginning of Shabbos and then you brought them up to the roof, then even Reb Shimon would say you can't bring them over to the other roof unless you make an Eruv. Because when it's kelim sheshavsu b'seich habayis, in effect, we still consider in a certain sense as if they were in the house. And you can't, separate rishus. So you can't bring them into a separate rishus on Shabbos. We don't say, in other words, when you bring it up to the roof, that now it's nisbatel. Okay, now it's in a neutral rishus, and now we can take it whatever we want. No, we still consider as though, in effect, as though it was still inside the house.
Even kelim of bris milah, Rab Shimon would not allow that.
Hold on a second. Wait, finish off, Ellie. Yeah. No. What? Okay. So again, let's clarify. Reb Shimon is saying if you have something, if Reuven has something that was on his roof at the beginning of Shabbos, Reb Shimon would say he's allowed to bring it over to Shimon's roof and Levi's roof and Yehuda's roof, the whole block. However, if it was something in Reuven's house at the beginning of Shabbos, then he can only bring it up to his roof and that's it. Now, you're asking Avraham Moshe, what about Bris Mila? Same rule. We said in Shabbos that you can't be over on an Isser, even Drabbanon, in order to be able to make a Bris Mila. Maybe there are certain, Daraisa for sure, yeah, which you is, can't, but even, well, the Mila itself is so therefore, the Bris Mila is Daraisa, but the Machshirim are not Dereich Shabbos. So if you didn't bring the knife, for example, so if Reuven happened to have a knife on his roof on Shabbos and he wants to bring it over to another roof where they're going to make the Bris Mila, then fine, no problem, according to Reb Shimon. But if you have, or if it was in Reuven's Chatzer, because again, Reb Shimon says the Chatzeros are also part of the same Rishos as the roofs, but if it was inside Reuven's house at the beginning of Shabbos, then no, he can only bring it out to his Chatzer if they made an Eruv and to his roof, but no further than that. And if that means that they can't make the bris, okay, so we discussed in Shabbos, so you may be allowed to call a goy to bring it. That's a different question. But in terms of Jews bringing it, then no. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Yosef lo shmieli hoshmaita. Rabbi Yosef said, I didn't hear of this teaching of Shmuel, that we should say good asik, where you can't see that there was a wall there. Again, as we know, Rabbi Yosef became sick and forgot his learning, and his Talmudim would have to remind him of it. So Amar Abaya at Amrit Nialon. So Abaya tells him, you told it to us. Va'aho aham Amrit Nialon. You told it to us in connection with the following din. We learn in a Mishnah, in a couple of blat, Gag Godol HaSomoch L'Katan. If you have a large roof, which is wider, next to a smaller roof. So you have, let's say, the two buildings are attached together, and you have like a T shape. You have the one building sticks out further on both sides than the other building. So let's say, for example, sort of like a segel, sort of like a T, I guess you could think of it. So you have, let's say it looks like this. You have a roof over here, and you have another roof over here. Now, if we think about it, the large roof, if they're completely open one to the other, the large roof is not really completely open because you have pieces of wall on both sides that come in and make part of a mechitza. But the smaller one does not. If you look from the vantage point of the smaller one, then it's just open straight through. So the Mishnah says, "Hagadol mutar v'hakatan aser." You're allowed to carry in the large one. You're allowed to, the people who live in the large in the building with the large roof are allowed to carry in it, even according to Rav. Again, because you have gifufi, you have these parts that come in, the arms of the T that come in and then form a partial mechitza. So even Rav would be fine with that. V'hakatan aser, the small one would be aser because it doesn't have any gifufim. It's completely open to the other one. V'amrit lon Allah. So Abaye says to Rabbi Yosef, you told us about that. Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, lo shonu ela sheyesh diyurin al zeh v'diyurin al zeh. This only applies if people live one on the other, meaning not live literally, but in other words, they're using the roofs much more regularly than average, and therefore they're constantly walking across that borderline between the two roofs. Then what happens is, so now you can't say good asik because it's called mechitza hanidreses. It's a mechitza which is being constantly walked over, and that's not considered a mechitza. That would break the good asik, the fact that people are always walking back and forth over it. Aval ein diyurin alzev alzev. But if you don't have people regularly living and walking across from one to the other, then Shmuel says shnei and mutarin. Then both of them are mutar. So you see that even though it's a mechitza she'ena nikeres, Shmuel still holds of good asik. So Abaye says to Rabbi Yosef, that's what you told us. So yes, you used to know this thing of Shmuel, and then you forgot it. Amale, so now usually in many places in Shas, when we have this, then just Rabbi Yosef accepts what Abaye says, and that's that, and they go on. Here you have Rabbi Yosef is going to argue with Abaye's recollection of what he heard. Amalei, so he says to Abaya, Ana hochi amilchu, that's not actually what I told you. What I told you was something a little bit different. Loi shonu ela sheyesh mechitza al zeh o mechitza al zeh. It only works if there's an actual mechitza around the two roofs, not a good asik mechitza, a real honest to goodness mechitza of 10 tfachim above the surface. And then, so now the large roof has gifufi, it has partial walls coming in on the fourth side, on the arms of the T. The cotton nifrits bimaloya, whereas the cotton is completely open, and therefore it's completely open on the fourth side, and therefore it would be also. Aval ein mechitza loyal zevaloyal zeh shnei and asurin, but if there's no mechitza not on one and not on the other, then both of them are also. So that wouldn't, in other words, we don't apply gudasik. So that's why Rabbi Yosef is saying, I don't understand. How are we quoting that Shmuel said good asik? When I learned and taught this halacha, it wasn't in terms of good asik. We wouldn't say good asik in that case. We only say it's allowed because there are actual walls all around. So the large one has walls on three sides and part of the fourth. The small one has only on three sides and completely open on the fourth. That's why the big one they're allowed to carry and the small one they're not allowed to carry. Nothing to do with good asik, because we're talking there are actual walls over there. So Abaya says, what do you mean though? You use the expression diyurin. So what do you mean that now you're talking about mechitzas? So Rabbi Yosef answers, "E amri lachu diyurin." Okay, if I use the word diyurin, hochi amri lachu, what I meant by saying the word diyurim, what I meant was as follows. This only works if there's a mechitza which is roi for living, meaning an actual permanent mechitza, kvu of a kayemes. By making such mechitzas, they demonstrate that they want to use their roofs more regularly. So now the gadol is mutter because it just has an entrance. It has three complete walls, the beginning of a fourth wall, and therefore that's enough to make it mutter to carry in the whole thing. The cotton, meanwhile, is going to be also because nifrits lamakim are also like, but nothing to do with good asik. So that would be why it works. Aval yesh mechitza ru'uyel dira ala gadol. But continues Rabbi Yosef, when I mentioned, you're saying I mentioned diurin, I'm using to mean a permanent mechitza of the kind that now people can use the roof for diurin. So now what I'm saying is, if both the large one and the small one have walls around them, then we say the large one is allowed to carry, the small one not, because they have, it's part of its bimaloy, because it's completely open on the fourth side. Avo yesh mechitza ru'uy ledira ala gadol, ve'ed mechitza ru'uy ledira ala cotton. But if there is a permanent mechitza around the big one, but there's no permanent mechitza around the small one at all, afilu cotton shori livne gadol, then the din would be that the people of the gadol would be allowed to carry it not only on their own roof but also into the katan. Because since the people of the katan of the smaller roof did not make themselves a mechitza, saluki saliku nafshayu mehacha. In effect, they removed themselves from there. They were saying, we don't plan to use our roof very often. Therefore, you people from the gadol can use it. So therefore, it becomes like an extension of the gadol, and therefore they're allowed to use it. So Rabbi Yosef says that's when we're talking about that we need to know that diurim, nothing to do with good asik. I don't hold that Shmuel ever said that you can apply good asik in these cases. If you have actual roofs, then yeah, actual walls. So Rabbi Yosef's scenario is that if the small ones did not make themselves a roof, only the big ones did, then the people from the big one are going to be allowed to carry in both areas. They're going to be allowed to carry in their own because it has three complete walls and a bit of a fourth wall around it. They're also going to be able to carry in the cotton, which has no walls at all, because then it's considered an extension of theirs. What do you mean it belongs to the people of the cotton? The very fact that they didn't make a wall shows that they don't plan to use it. It's not showing, you don't have the picture over here where it shows where there's no wall around the cotton, but you can easily imagine it. You have a wall around the gadol, and then the walls stop here and here, and that's that. It's flat. You just walk across. Yeah, but there's no wall surrounding that smaller part, the vertical part of the T. So therefore, it's not a question of seeing the chitzis. The point is, in other words, that the cotton is now considered an appendage of the gadol, and just like you're allowed to carry in the gadol because it has mechitzis, you'd be allowed to carry into the cotton as well. even though there's no machitzes, but well, because the point is, because the people from below showed that they don't want to use that. So therefore, it's not considered diurim chalukim. But where you have, where the people on bottom, where the people on bottom each are using the roof equally, they both have, let's say neither of them has mechitzas, not necessarily would we say that the big one can carry on their roof, or let alone to the smaller one, because not necessarily would we say good asik. That's Rabbi Yosef's point.
And if, question.
Right. Wait, yeah, what's the question? Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Question. And in reverse, if the small one has a mechitza on three sides and the big one does not, can they carry from the small to the big one?
On three no, because then you still have the problem. The fact that the small one has a mechitza on three sides doesn't help them, because it's still completely open to the other side. In fact, actually, Tosfos points out, now, if you had that it was just shaped like a T, and you only had the cotton, which is the vertical part of the T, had walls around it, actually, it would be mutter on the ground. It would be mutter on the grounds that you have, it's called nira b'machutz v'shav, or actually, if you had walls around all of them, sorry, what Tosfos says is, if there are walls only around the katana, then no good, because then you don't have a fourth wall on the fourth side. It's completely nifrats, as opposed to when the big one has walls around it, the walls partially enclose the fourth side as well. Tosfos points out, in the case where you have, it's just shaped like a T, and they have, the two of them, both of them have walls, the cotton actually would be mutter on the grounds that we learned earlier in the Masechta about nira b'chutz b'shavim b'fnim, where if you look from the other side, you see something. So therefore, it would have to be that the walls of the katana actually continue on and go beyond the point where the two parts of the T meet. And only then would we say that we don't say, then we would say that we don't consider it then it's not nidum achutz or shavu b'fnim, because now you have those things over there are sticking out beyond that, and therefore these parts over here that are at the bottom of the arms of the T are not going to be considered nidum achutz. But if you didn't have these pieces of wall sticking up over here, then it would have been fine.
So why don't you say the same thing about the big one then? It also has these pieces extending into the small one.
The big one, you don't need all of that. That's the thing. The big one already has walls around three sides and part of the fourth. That's good enough for the big one to be able to carry anyway. Yeah. The point
is
anyway that
you have the small one has three walls and a small on the fourth side, you're not allowed.
That would be fine if they had on the three sides and a little bit on the fourth side, then yes, they'd be fine.
Okay.
And then they'd be fine. Yeah. Okay. Let's finish up over here. So he says, Kehod Amr Rav Nachman. So Rabbi Yosef says this din would be similar to something Rav Nachman says, where the Rav Nachman says, Osa Sulam Kavua Lagagoy. If one person in town makes a permanent roof, makes a permanent staircase or ladder to go up to his roof, and everybody else didn't, then he would be allowed to carry on all the other roofs. Then he'd be allowed to carry on all the other roofs, because by him making such stairs and nobody else did, it demonstrates that nobody else is planning to use their roof, as opposed to he demonstrated that he plans to use his. Therefore, all their roofs are considered extensions of his. So even the Rabbanon would be fine with that, and he could carry from one to the other. So the same logic over here. If the Gdola, again, if the Gdola has a roof around it and the Katana does not, then it means
that's a watch around
not,
it,
not a roof. One second. By the Gdola having a wall around it, an actual wall, and the Katana not, it demonstrates that the Katana don't plan to use their roof. Therefore, their roof becomes like an appendage of the Gdola. The same way as Rav Nachman is saying that if one person puts up stairs showing that he plans to use his roof more often, then now, even according to the Rabbanon, he's allowed to use the rest of the roof. So the same logic would apply. So Rabbi Yosef is saying, I don't believe that Shmuel said anything about good asik in this case, where it's not a mechitza hanikeres, the case where it's not visible on top that there's a mechitza below, the case we're talking about over here, where they were allowed to carry in the gdola versus the ktana, is talking about where there are roofs above the surface level, where there are walls above the surface of the roof that are visible to the that are actually visible to the people on the roofs. Not that we're talking about that you have to look down from below where you're standing and see that there are roofs of houses, and then know that there's one in between the one house and the next where the two roofs connect.
So there really have to be actual walls.
So there have to be actual walls, says Rabbi Yosef. Yeah. Okay, so we'll continue this tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Well, tomorrow night, Matzah Shabbos, Be'ez Hashem, and